Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
All right. I am going to need a little help with the scripture reading, so I'm just going to call my son to come up and read it for me. All right. I'm just going to help. We're all right. All right. Ready? All right. The scripture is taken from Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. First, despise wisdom and instruction.
Amen. Thank you. All right. All right, so let's just open in a quick word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to see another day. We thank you for everyone in attendance. We just pray that this word goes out and speaks to the hearts and minds of everyone here and everyone that can hear it. We just ask that you can hide me behind your word, Lord, that they will not see me, but that they will see you. So I put this time before you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank Justin and Ryan for coming out. These are two brothers that whenever there's something going on in my life, they're two quarters of the group that we have. These are young brothers in Christ that support me a lot in prayer. So thank you guys for coming. Appreciate it. I do want to thank the leadership for allowing me to speak, for thinking of me, to give a word out to the assembly. It means a lot. I want to thank my wife for being who she is and supporting me always. My parents, my in-laws, I thank you guys so much for everything that you taught me, and I just hope that I make you proud. All right, the title of my message today, now that all the pleasantries are done, is Discipline, Discipline, Discipline. As young Caleb read, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." In Proverbs, it states, "Fools despise wisdom and discipline." Now, at first glance, what I picture is someone sitting with their arms crossed, maybe a scowl on their face, their nose turned up to someone giving them instructions. They just don't want to hear it. However, it doesn't only mean that an individual is lacking intelligence. It means to reject correction and direction will make uninformed choices in your life. The more information and guidance you will receive will direct you to a better outcome. For example, you order something online, it comes, and it's in pieces. Instead of you just trying to figure it out, what should you look at? The instructions. The instructions will let you know step by step how to get your desired item. So it will eliminate the chances of you using the product or putting the product together incorrectly. I tell my oldest son all the time, your parents are your cheat code. This means for certain situations, you don't have to do trial and error. You go to us, and we'll tell you because we may have already figured out the best path and the best way to get your desired outcome. That's why in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and 16 it says, "Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that so you may prosper in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." Honor in this passage means to adhere to what is right or to a conventional standard of conduct. I'll tell you a little story, as I like to share. Growing up, my father didn't like the idea of me wearing a do-rag outside. He said he didn't want anyone to think that I was in a gang. Back then, I wore a do-rag to, of course, perfect my hairstyle at the time. Pause for laughter. And as what it would do is it would lay my hair down nice and flat so that my waves would just look the best that it could possibly do. Although I knew that do-rags were not a gang-specific item, I obeyed them. And I would remove it before I left for school in the morning. Now, there were gang members who wore do-rags, and there was a possibility that someone could mistake me for someone else, thus putting my safety in jeopardy. He set this request as a way to protect me and to reduce the chance that I could bring unwanted, unnecessary attention to myself. What I knew didn't matter. Understanding that God is God is the start where your knowledge and correction should come from. One definition of discipline is the quality of being able to behave and work in a controlled way, which involves obeying particular rules and standards. We may not know why certain rules are put in place, but we do know God wants us to follow them. Proverbs 4 and verse 1, it says, "Listen, my sons, to a father's discipline, and pay attention so that you may gain understanding." The idea that this brought out was a sequence of steps. First, listen. Then, pay attention. And lastly, learn. It's easy to follow steps that are simple and even enjoyable. When we're told to follow rules that we don't understand, we often will question and reject them. Now, this passage here is one that I use with my sons. Step one, listen. Now, I go over this with my boys all the time. There's two parts to listening. Part one, go ahead, RG. Hearing, and the second part is, Caleb?
Doing.
Hearing and doing. Those two actions together create listening. So if I tell you all, clap your hands one time. Right? That is listening. You heard my command, you understood it, and you did it. That is listening. So part one, listen. Two, pay attention. Instead of just doing things just because you're told, look around. There are other belief systems that don't want you to question why you're doing things. But God, he wants more than just our obedience. He wants a relationship. So he wants to hear from us. His word says that he wants us to pray without ceasing. He gives us his word so that we understand the directions that he wants us to have. And his word, of course, is the Bible. Step three, to understand. The last step feels more like a byproduct of step one and step two. When you listen and pay attention, understanding will soon follow. There was a remake of a movie from my childhood, and I would like to play a clip of it. I've never done this before, so I hope it goes smoothly.
I put my jacket on 1,000 times. I took it off 1,000 times, okay? This is stupid. I'm done. They can beat me up if they want to. And you know why you only have one student? Because you don't know Kung Fu.
Shoujoy.
What?
Come here. Check it on.
Mr. Han, I already...
Check it on. Check it on.
I don't have a jacket.
Check it on. Be strong. Check it on. Firm. Check it off. Remember, always strong. Check it off. Strong. Left foot back. Right feet back. Left feet back. Pick up his jacket.
Whoa,
focus. Okay. Always concentrate. Left back. Rifle back! Pick up a jacket! Stay! Pick up your jacket. Stop. Hanging up. Hanging up! Hang up! Edit you! Strike! Hang up and edit you! Good. But no face. Check out!
Alright, the audio or the visual didn't line up, as you can see, but I hope you got the gist of it. There's always a method to what may seem like madness. In the clip, the young man wants to learn Kung Fu, but he wants to learn it as he thinks it will happen. The instructor has a reason for the movements that he's making him do, putting his jacket on and taking his jacket off, picking his jacket up and hanging his jacket up. It's all putting him in a fighting stance and a defensive stance. When the young man doesn't feel like he's getting anywhere with putting his jacket on and taking his jacket off, he wants to quit. The movements, however, that he was practicing is preparing him for what he wants to learn, just not as he thinks. How many times have God shown up in ways that caught us by surprise? Because we weren't expecting him to show up that way. We wanted God to show up a certain way, but he showed up the way that he knew what is best. How many times have a memory verse popped up into memory at the right moment to share it or to use it? How many times has prayers been answered and it seems like God has forgotten about you? Discipline puts us in the right position to receive what God wants to give us. Last week, Brother Cato gave us an excellent reminder that it's the enemy who tempts us. God only has good things for us. Knowing only that we should flee youthful lust is not good enough. We must put the idea into action. The moment we figure that we can handle things on our own is where we find ourselves in trouble. James chapter 1 and verse 17, it says, "Every generous act and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. The rules, standards, and examples that God gives us is only to make us better, stronger, and more like him." Daniel chapter 1. Verse 3 to 5, it says, "The king ordered Ashpenaz," I'm not sure if I pronounce his name right, but I'm sure he's okay with it, "the chief of his court, to bring some of the Israelites from the royal family and from the nobility. Young men without physical defect, good looking, suitable for instruction in all wisdom, knowledgeable, perceptive, and capable of serving in the king's palace, and to teach them the Chaldean language and literature. The king assigned them daily provisions from the royal food and from the wine that he drank. They were to be trained for 3 years, and at the end of that time, they were to serve in the king's court." Now, it explains here what the king was looking for, the qualities that he was looking for. They had to be young, physically fit, suitable for instruction in all wisdom, knowledgeable, perceptive, and capable of serving in the king's palace. The king wanted to take these young men that seemed seemingly perfect in stature, mentally gifted, and full of potential, then take over by changing how they got to this point. Sounds smart, right? Well, Daniel didn't think so. In verse 8, it says, "Daniel determined that he would not defy himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. He knew that he became desirable by doing what he did, not what the king wanted him to do." With discipline, there's a determination behind our thoughts and our actions. In Daniel 9, it says, it shows us God had granted Daniel favor and compassion from the chief official. Verse 10 says, We're just going to read down to 20. Verse 10 says, "Yet he said to Daniel, 'My lord, the king assigned your food and drink. I'm happy of what would happen if he saw, I'm afraid of what would happen if he saw your faces looking thinner than those of the young men your age. You would endanger my life with the king.' So Daniel said to the guard, whom the chief official had assigned to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, 'Please test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then examine our appearance and the appearance of the young men who are eating the king's food and deal with your servants based on what you see.' He agreed with them in this manner and tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, they looked better and healthier than all the young men who were eating the king's food. So the guard continued to remove their food and their wine they were to drink, and gave them vegetables. God gave these four men knowledge and understanding in every kind of literature and wisdom. Daniel also understood visions and dreams of every kind. At the end of the time, the king had said to present them, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king interviewed them, and among all of them, no one was found equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they began to serve in the king's court. And the last verse, in every manner of wisdom and understanding that the king consulted them about, he found them 10 times better than all the diviner priests and mediums in the entire kingdom. So God's discipline in diet and education left these young men at the top of their peers. They were blessed and used as consultants in the king's court. So you may not have finished high school yet, or college. You may not have a master's or a PhD or a special title, but the wisdom that God provides in his word will put you higher than what the world has to offer. In a newsletter article that was written in 2022, it talks about the importance of discipline. And here's what it said. It says, discipline creates habits. Habits makes routines, and routines become who you are daily. The value of discipline is the way to do what needs to be done. Not only does practice allow one to establish a positive action, it helps us to train our minds and bodies and enables us to focus on our goals and regulates our emotions. Now, I don't know if the writer of this article is a believer in Jesus Christ or not. If they are, this is plagiarism. No, just kidding. If they aren't, though, it seems that all of their studying, all of their research and interviewing could be found in one spot that we are given, the Word of God. My favorite part of that article, however, is that first portion where it says, discipline creates habits, habits make routines, and routines become who you are daily. Now, my dad, he would always say, hey, first thing you do in the morning is wake up and have your quiet time. Mornings, they're not the easiest for me, so, you know, it was always a difficulty doing that. But he was right, that habit will become a routine, and that routine will become who you are daily. He would always say that that time is what's going to protect you for what you're about to endure when you go outside. In a self-help article, another author writes the following: but if you don't develop self-discipline, it causes problems. Health problems, distraction, procrastination, financial problems, clutter, things piling up and overwhelming you, and much, much more. It seems that without discipline, there's a slope of despair and hard times that will follow. How great of a God to provide us a way to avoid all of these things. The other discipline here in the passage I'm about to read is the practice of training people to obey rules or a code of behavior, using punishment or hardship to correct disobedience. In Hebrews 12, I'm going to read from 5 to 12. It says, "And you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons. My son, do not take the Lord's discipline lightly or faint when you are reproved by him. For the Lord's discipline is one he loves. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and punishes every son whom he receives. Endure it as discipline. God is dealing with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, which all receive, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had natural fathers discipline us, and we respected them. Shouldn't we submit even more to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time based on what seemed good to them, but he does it for our benefit, so that we can share his holiness. Verse 11, no discipline seems enjoyable at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it yields the fruit of peace and righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Verse 12, therefore strengthen your tired hands and weakened knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but healed instead. Now, verse 5 says, do not take the Lord's discipline lightly. This tells me that there's a purpose behind the Lord's discipline. Verse 6, I thought at first was cruel, but after reading on and reading verse 8, it shows we all receive some form of discipline. If we aren't disciplined, we are illegitimate children and not his children. We need it. Verse 9 says, it is known that fathers create discipline in our homes, our earthly fathers, but our heavenly Father has also created order, and we should respect it even more. Verse 10, oftentimes, as a father, I feel like I don't know what I'm doing. And the word seemed in this verse is very telling, because we don't know, well, I don't know if what type of punishment, what type of discipline I'm putting on my boys is going to work. I'm hoping for the best, but I don't know. So seemed here is very, very telling. But I like how it continues and says, but he, meaning God, does it for our benefit. You see, there's no seem, there's no maybe. It's a definite. It's for our benefit. So that means the end result is going to be beneficial to us. Verse 11 said, which is my favorite verse, we use it all the time in the basketball clinic, it says, no discipline seems enjoyable at the time. So when we're running back and forth and doing the exercises, it is not fun, but painful. Later on, however, it yields the fruit of peace and righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So eventually, those suicides, when we're in a game, or prides, as Coach Jamal will call it, they give us the endurance that we need to play the game without getting tired. So at first, it's not fun, but we see the benefit of it later. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. I thought about this verse for a while, trying to grasp what God was telling me. And I kept getting different things. But the one that stuck out most to me was the more that we're open to correction, the more opportunities we have to learn. So if we love the correction, we'll love the end product for it. So the more we can learn from God, the better off we'll be. So circling back to the first verse, the main verse, Proverbs 1:7 says again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and discipline. Fear in this word, of course, is not to be afraid, but to have reverence for. Reverence for who? Reverence for God's power and his glory. Reverence is a devotion to God. So I would say, as I close, for anyone to have true devotion with God, you must first accept the gift that was given to us. And that gift, of course, is his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Once you do that, you'll have an internal coach that will tell you to take your jacket off, put your jacket on, pick your jacket up, and hang your jacket up. The Holy Spirit will tell you and guide you to do things and say things in certain times that you may not understand at first. But if you listen and pay attention, you will soon understand. That is my message for this morning. And I pray that if any of you do not have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you don't have that internal coach within inside of you that is guiding you and disciplining you in your daily life, I pray, and I mean this honestly, I pray that you accept him today. Thank you. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity to share your word. I pray that it has cut through deaf ears. I pray that anyone who was half listening heard your word 100%. And I pray that each and every individual that's in attendance here is a child of you, not an illegitimate child, but an actual child. So, Lord, I thank you again. In Jesus' name, amen.